This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I've been chatting with Sir Robin Knox Johnson, whom you know as the first sailor to single hand around the world and the founder of the Clipper Around the World race, and his good friend, Sir John Henry McAnally, retired Vice Admiral of the Royal Navy. They each have a drink in hand, and this photo came up of the two of them back in 1965 when they were young officers in training and having a bit of fun in Paris. Go to sailsporttalk.com for the photo and listen in to the story.
Robin will recognize this vehicle because he wrote it too. It's a 1938 Dennis fire engine. And in the fourth year of their Royal Naval Officers training, we were split into groups of about 14. And each group did, in turn, a specialist course at one of the training establishments in London. Mostly around Portsmouth, not only around Portsmouth, and naval air stations and so on. And we had as our course conveyance this 1938 fire engine, which we took to Paris. 60 people watched us park it. Here you see us, the members of X18 course, 1965-66. with our fire engine. And Robin can tell you a tale about it too.
Well, I can tell you, Karen, that we coincided with John's course. I was a Royal Naval Reserve course, Merchant Navy people, so we were doing a different sort of course. And we coincided with John's course. And we thought their fire engine was marvellous because we could climb on it, go to the local nightclubs, Pom d'Or, I seem to remember, John.
You do indeed, yeah.
And we go there, and about 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, we decide we better go back to Whale Island, the gunnery school, and we climb on this fire engine, about 40 young naval officers hanging on to it. And someone very stupidly rang the fire bell. And within seconds, we were surrounded by police cars. And they just came up to us and they said, "Young gentlemen, the good citizens of Portsmouth like their sleep. If you ring that fire bell again, we'll take you all in, and you won't be on parade tomorrow, and that'll be bad for your careers, won't it?" And, you know, fairly drunk, I suppose, we all said, "Oh, yes, you know, that's very serious. Yes, we'll take this seriously. So would you mind going back to Whale Island and not ringing that bell?" So we muffled the bell, and we returned to Whale Island. And I still remember that, John, and I suspect you were hanging on the fire engine at the same time as me.
I don't remember it at all. Robert.
Of course you don't. No.
That's a great story.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's Tuesday in our first hour. We check in with our friend Karen Lyle, the co-host of this segment from SailsportTalk.com, who's also in her home in the East Bay, as am I. How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great. Do you remember when we were waving at each other over the Atlantic last year about this time?
Yes, that's right, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it's hard to remember, but I was in Malta at this time last year, and I was able to witness the Elusive 2 win for the first time the Royal Malta Yacht Club Middle Sea Race, and I met Christopher Podesta, who has won the race again with his team this year, so now they're defending 2 years in a row.
And let's bring in Christoph Podesta from Elusive 2, who, as she mentioned, run the Rolex Royal Malta Yacht Club Middle Sea Race. Christoph, welcome to the show. And this is really a family affair for the Podestas, isn't it?
Hi. Yes, it really is quite a family affair. I co-skipper the boat with my brother Aaron, my sister Maya. We have on board my sister's boyfriend, David, who's our navigator. We've got a couple of cousins sailing with us, and the rest of the team are friends.
Christoph, it's so good to talk to you, and I'm so excited that you won the race again, but most of all, that there even was a race. No? How did it work this year differently from last year with the pandemic?
Hey, Karen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be with you guys. Yeah, it's been a little bit different this year with the whole COVID situation. It hasn't been easy for the yacht club to organize such a big event. However, it's great that they did, and both the club and Rolex really pushed for everything to go ahead. They assembled a COVID task force to come up with measures to make the event pandemic friendly, so to say. And that meant all the social events were all kind of cancelled, and everyone got time to focus on nothing but the race itself. From our point of view, we spent months preparing, and that obviously had its complications as well, where we'd all meet up together and work on the boat while wearing masks and regularly sanitizing our hands to make sure none of us picked it up from one another and caused a problem.
You know, I've always been so fascinated with Malta being part of the ancient world, right smack dab in the middle of the Mediterranean, going back to the people who have gone there, the Phoenicians and the Carthaginians, the Greeks, Romans, Arabs, Normans, the Knights of St. John, the French, the British, the Nazis. I mean, it has a fascinating history to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, Malta's history is extremely rich, and I think we've pretty much been conquered or wanted to be conquered by every ruling empire or force, and each one of these mega forces and conquerors have definitely left their mark on the island and leaving us a super rich history to enjoy.
Well, Christoph, unlike the Royal Thames Yacht Club, the Royal Malta Yacht Club does not have royalty as its president. You are basically independent, but still bear the royal name. And that's a beautiful yacht club. I really enjoyed spending time with you and being on your boat with your family. Please give my best wishes to everyone, of course. I'm just so excited about this. Tell me about the start of this race, because I know that leaving that harbor, it can be kind of tricky with the winds coming from all these directions, but you guys have done it so many times. What was it like this year?
Well, yeah, it's funny. We've done the race so many times, but every year is different. For, I think, the first time since the start of the race was moved to the Grand Harbor, we had a decently strong northwesterly wind. But despite in the Grand Harbor, the northwesterly wind has quite a large shadow from Valletta. So getting off the start line was actually quite tricky. But as we made our way towards the breakwater, the wind started to fill in, and that's when we really started to pick up speed. Yeah, it was quite a beautiful start. We played it safe, and we kept sailing around the start line, obviously very carefully looking at our stopwatch to make sure the boat was constantly at maximum speed, so we can hit the line with maximum speed, knowing that we had a big lull in front of us. Being a relatively heavy boat, we knew we could carry our speed halfway out of the harbor till we caught the stronger winds. And then we sailed on to the Rolex mark just outside the harbor.
Very cool. A couple more questions for Christoph Podesta. You know, I was just wondering, Christoph, how much is Maltese still spoken? Are there Maltese signs? Are children taught the language in school?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think probably 90 to 95% of the Maltese population use Maltese as their first language. So all interactions between people is all in Maltese. Obviously, Maltese is spoken and taught in schools. But having said all this, Malta is a bilingual country. So we officially have both English and Maltese as our languages. But by far, Maltese is the most prominent language on the islands.
Christoph, last year when I was there, there were, I think, about 40 boats from 44 different countries represented with the boats and the crews in the race. How many countries or how many boats were there this time with the restrictions that were in place?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know exactly how many countries were represented in the race. However, I believe it was about 14. There were a total of 50 participants this year, which was much smaller than previous years where we would normally have about 120 to 150 yachts racing. So the pandemic has definitely had quite an effect on the turnout. However, I think the 50 attending starting yachts was still a very respectable fleet considering the global situation.
And I think it's also interesting, I'm on the history side of this right now, but when Malta finally got its independence in the 60s and then got into the European Union, what, about 15 years ago, and I remember Bush and Gorbachev had like a face-to-face encounter there when the Cold War ended. They went to Malta in like 89. But how much is Queen Elizabeth still part of the Maltese setup? Is that still just kind of a wave towards Britain that you still recognize Queen Elizabeth a little bit?
Well, I mean, yeah. Obviously, Malta was a British colony up until 1964, and that is where we got our independence and became our own country. The British forces remained in Malta for at least another 10 to 15 years. Having said that, Malta was a British colony for 164 years in total. So we definitely have the British have definitely left their mark. Furthermore, the British pretty much kept Malta alive and protected Malta during the Second World War. Yeah, I think the Maltese definitely have a big respect towards England and are big lovers of the English monarchy.
And Christoph, when I was there and we had the ceremony last year, there were about 1,000 people in that beautiful hospital. It was, I think, built in the 1500s. What was the name of that hospital? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, the prize giving this year was at the Excelsior Hotel, which is on the opposite side of the harbour from the yacht club. It was a much smaller event with only about 90 people attending, all on separate tables with socially distancing rules put into place. So it was a big difference and quite a downscaled event compared to last year's big celebration with huge amounts of people all enjoying themselves.
And Christoph, I've never been to Valletta, but if I go, what would be the one thing that you would say of all the historical places that I would have to go to first in Valletta?
Well, I mean, Valletta is quite a magical city. It's extremely unique and is beautiful to just be in and walk around. Every building has a story and had a purpose. I think the most beautiful place in the city is almost in the middle, and that's the Grand Master's Palace.
Well, Christoph, I loved being there, and it was beautiful taking the horse and buggy ride around through the city as well. But I want to get back to the sailing for just a moment. So you go from Malta and around Sicily, and that is oftentimes a very challenging sail because the conditions, especially as you're coming up around the top of on the other side of Sicily, can be quite challenging. Tell me about any highlights of that particular trip, some place or moment where you were just thinking, okay.
Yeah, this year's race was actually extremely challenging. On average, the race presents us with always some very calm weather and some severely strong, bad gale force weather. However, this year we eliminated the bad weather and it was pretty much lightish all the way around the course. We left Malta with good speed and got to Sicily quite early. However, going up Sicily's east coast was very, very tricky with lots of wind holes and trying to get past the shadow of Mount Etna. Luckily, we actually negotiated this quite well and really focused on maintaining boat speed and keeping up our apparent wind. We actually got up to the Straits of Messina in very good time, despite the light winds, and a lot of concentration at night paid off. But the Straits of Messina turned out to be extremely challenging with virtually no wind and about 4 knots of current against us. So this actually turned out to be a bit of a nightmare, where we were basically trying to sail on a treadmill running at full speed against us. But luckily, we managed to find a few pockets of wind. We crossed over from Italy to Sicily and ended up losing a number of miles in the current, but managed to get into back eddies on the Sicily side and also found a little bit of breeze. That allowed us to get around the top part of Sicily, around Capo Peloro, and then unfortunately we found more light winds outside of the straits with many wind holes and lots of fickle sailing. The next challenge after that was actually rounding Stromboli and the rest of the islands. You know, it's not every day that you sail around a race course and each mark is about 1,000 meters high. And these present a lot of challenges where you have to compromise either shortening your distance at the risk of running out of wind or sailing much longer distances to avoid the wind shadows.
That's fascinating stuff. That's one race that I would really like to be a part of. We've been speaking with Krzysztof Podesta from Elusive 2 that just won the Rolex Royal Malta Yacht Club Middle Sea Race. Krzysztof, thank you for your time and your insights. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Krzysztof. We'll see you soon in Malta.
And Karen, I'll see you next week. Thanks, kid.
Okay, sounds great. Bye-bye.
All right, I am Rich Tittlecom. I'm back.